what you asked for. See how this meeting goes.
Let me do my Kathy Steer invitation on record.
All right, then, so we'll call order, do I do this, the meeting of the Sustainability Committee for October 29th. We have a roll call, attendance, is that what we do? Okay.
Did we get to know who's speaking, or is this a surprise?
Oh. Am I supposed to call myself?
No.
Catherine Chantierio.
Here.
Mitch Gold.
Here.
Dave Price.
Here.
Don Villascusa.
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 Very close.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Great. Okay, so next, the minutes. Does anyone have, let's see, we all received the minutes, I hope. Okay, great. Thank you for the email. I would entertain a motion to approve those.
And a second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion? I should mention that I was not here. I did read them. Thank you all very much for appointing me chair in my absence. You all pay for that. As will the community. But outside of that?
No, I think good.
Can you have a fair representation? Then all those in favor of approval?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's approved. Presentations. Anne-Marie, what have you planned?
Well, what we need to do is, or you as the committee members, we need to determine how we want to proceed. So I included in the packet the previous plan that had been adopted, and it outlined the topics. And we can either proceed with that plan as a starting point, and if you want to go through that plan and look at each of the topics and reprioritize those, delete some, add some, or if you want to scrap that completely and develop a new plan for this committee, or if you want to not do either and just determine one item that you would like to start with, to remembering that this is an advisory council or advisory committee to city council. Determine which item of focus you would like to focus on first, and then begin delving into that with research.
Well, because I was named chair in my absence, I'm going to take the opportunity to speak first and say, personally, I thought it was really interesting. I think I may have missed the 2007 information that was talked about, but I did review the 2009 and 10 grid of the sustainability plan outline of topics, and I think the BHAG, as they are called, the overarching goals are wonderful. I think they are also, and they're great in an aspirational way. In my estimation, people respond to committees that can set achievable targets and achieve them and then move on and set other targets. And I think if we set too many or too broad or too distant a goal, then people will lose interest and it'll be harder for us to garner support. I think we need to be doing tangible things that people can sink their teeth into and see what we've done or haven't done and identify the failures and the successes. And so I would encourage us to consider that when setting these goals.
Recalling our first discussion when we met here last time, there was some mention that the city council is specifically interested in zero waste.
Yes.
So I thought I'd just mention that. I thought I'd also toss into the ring this idea that I had about reaching out to people via the issue of food, sustainable food, less food waste, and in particular the transition away from a meat-heavy diet towards one that's more, somewhat more plant-based. And the thought I had about that was that we could actually, if that became an interest of ours, we could actually partner with several other branches of the city and private sector. We could partner with the marketing department and view and conceive of some kind of a special weekend of food where our chefs get to showcase their expertise, and the culinary school could actually use their facilities and their expertise. Basically, we leverage tourism. We could leverage the dietitians over at the Samaritan Hospital. So we could and we could have local farmers come and speak to us. So there's a bunch of different opportunities in a topic like that to sort of get on a very concrete. You know, we all eat, right? I mean, so that's kind of a way to get to the public. That's one idea.
So I will add to that, and a lot of organizations, a lot of communities are having veggie fests where that's exactly what happens. And all the chefs come out and they're really looking at plant-based options and encouraging people to grow their own food and learn how to cook with plant-based foods that are locally grown, which one of my big passions, as you know, is improving the diversity and doing edible forest gardens and kind of following in the footsteps of the incredible edible that's over in England, where they converted the entire community over into edibles and medicinals, and it became a huge tourism draw as well as making the community sustainable. So that's a big passion. So which kind of
I think the idea of food as a topic or like a goal, like food waste would be a good one. I like the zero waste focus as something like we could have maybe zero waste and then food, single-use plastics, styrofoam, and then like local restaurants get them in on it. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that I think would be a really good one to make some kind of incentive for local businesses, restaurants to switch away from the styrofoam and maybe even encourage people to bring their own containers. I know the state is thinking about legalizing that, which I've been kind of doing that anyways for a while, so
yeah.
I don't know.
I know a lot of people.
Lawbreaker.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, there are some places that still don't want to do it or whatever. But so on a smaller level, you know, local level, maybe just encouraging more like compostable takeaway containers, you know, paper.
So the single-use plastic, reduction of single-use plastic, and you're also including in that not just single-use plastic, but also styrofoam, the clamshells, basically any single-use item that would come from
non-biodegradable.
I'd like to circle back to that too after Don has her.
Yeah, me too. We both will circle back up.
I was going to actually. Well, I don't know. I guess I appreciate having a single focus, but I'm wondering if we're skipping something by doing that, because it feels like nothing has been done on a city level sustainability-wise for several years. The last sustainability committee really focused on bike paths, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it was really 2010 was the last significant effort. So I feel like there would be some value in reviewing the plan, finding out what's been done. There's a couple of things like setting up a city sustainability webpage. So apparently that was checked off as done, but if you go to that webpage, it no longer exists. So, you know, just, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out as a...
I wonder if one of us could sit down and maybe make some bullet points based off of the older plan and just go through and kind of go, okay, should we maybe... should we focus more on this, or is it kind of something that we don't want to focus on now, or mm-hmm. is already done?
And some of it is just, like, there were some things about possibly doing assessments and things like that. I'd like to know, did the assessments happen? What were the results of them? Do the different city departments have sustainability plans in place, or did that get dropped? You know, I mean, I don't know. Or maybe that it got worked in there somewhere, but not necessarily under the label sustainability. So,
and those would be questions that you would want to determine if you want to focus your time on going back and looking at that plan and what was done and where it went, or if you want to choose your own topic or issue and focus on that.
And I actually am fine either way. Zero waste is huge. And if that's kind of the way the city wants us to look at, that's biting off a whole bunch.
That's a huge topic. It's a really tough one.
And there's a lot of information out there from different cities who are doing or have done it. There's a lot of resources that we can take advantage of. So.
And I, for one, never meant to say we should do just one thing. I just think we need to be careful about how we set those goals so that we can sort of track our progress and so can the public.
And we can actually accomplish and show that we,
Well, and getting the website, that's a brilliant idea. And I just wanted to throw into the zero waste. I think Portland has a compost that the city actually brings up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and getting things like that. I compost everything now, so I have like bits of trash. But, you know, most people and people are confused about what is compostable, and what isn't. And if the city's doing it and they have a place where they're creating a compost and then converting it to soil and then using that in the parks, that's just a perk for everybody.
That's one step towards the city's goal of zero waste.
It's
just a beginning step.
And there are models to follow. Excuse me, Dave.
No, I'm sorry. It was called out, actually, in this document, the 2010 document. They suggested that they could put that composting facility at one of the community gardens, which actually does have a large composting facility.
Oh, nice.
But certainly they never pursued or got anywhere, as far as I can tell, curbside service and that sort of thing. That's a whole other conversation. But to come back to the point that Sarah was making about the reducing single-use plastics, just this sort of one-hit wonder for me. This is the project that I've had in my mind when I think about this committee for years, and we had a Rotary presentation that we sponsored about this topic that was also wrapped around plastic bags, no pun intended. I truly believe that from a small business perspective, that we can, and a marketing perspective, we can differentiate Lincoln City as the greenest beach in Oregon if we move quickly and aggressively on that topic.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a fair and justifiable use, although Ed Dreistad might disagree with me, of transient rim tax dollars in an investment to, at the end of it, generate more transient rim tax for the community by basically saying, if the biggest hurdle to a small business in switching to compostables and away from plastic utensils and clamshells and all of that is cost, and they say, oh, I can't afford it, you're going to kill small business, well, then take it off the table. Say, we will pay the delta. We will pay the difference between what you were paying for plastics and styrofoam, because you save your invoices and you send it to us, on a quarterly basis for 12, 18, 36 months. I don't know what the period of time is. But to say, we will help ease the transition. And if we get 75, or we set some arbitrary target as a community, the council does, the city council does, it says if 70 or 75 or 80% of Lincoln City lodging properties make this switch with our financial support, with or without our financial support, some will do it on their own, some will never file the paperwork, some will never play by the rules and get their money. But if they are getting rid of plastics, then we can say we are the greenest destination on the Oregon coast, and then market that and find a way to differentiate our beach from any one of 100 other beaches that you can visit on the Oregon coast. And if you're out to go to the beach, if we can say, you're not only coming to the beach, but you're actually coming to a place that shares your values that you hold dear. And there's statistics that I have in it. very brief presentation. I've already prepared. From a Hartman study in 2009, I think, that talked about how 71% of consumers are motivated in one degree or another, some severely motivated, by sustainability issues.
Yeah.
So I think you can make the argument that this is an investment in the future, and it's a good way to spend transit road tax dollars, in addition to a new police station. And I think that that would be fun to pitch to the city.
I would have to talk about that. Yeah. When she asked me about whether I could join this committee, that was one thing that I, because at Elsie Green Drinks we talked about it briefly, and Joanne was talking about like even providing to the businesses alternative packaging and branding it with Explore the City maybe.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the very first Green Drinks meeting. It was like the only one I've attended since its reincarnation. I was a part of the first iteration, but I haven't been able to make these Sunday nights. But we did talk about exactly that. And that was originally my scheme was to have a warehouse where we have that stuff and buy it. But then I thought, well, that's logistics, and now we have to rent that place. And wouldn't it be easier just to have people submit quarterly invoices and then three times a year? Anyway, just a thought, but I love where that's coming from, and I like the branded idea too.
Yeah.
Like Lincoln City.
I do too. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Because we have a great logo.
Yeah.
Another thing that came up, I think on the Lincoln City discussion Facebook page, one of the businesses was just saying that we have a lot of packaging material and we would love for you to come get it rather than us throwing it out. And somebody else had said something to me at one time, oh, when we were planning our Migratory Birthday Festival, the no plastic, they had said how they had tried to set up, like out of their garage, a plastic or a shipping and packaging exchange place where you don't throw away any of the packaging because you can't always control what stuff comes to you packaged in.
Yeah.
But if you had a place where you could swap it,
that's a really
neat idea.
Like those plastic bags of food, the plastic bag with the little bubble peanuts.
Yeah. I've actually taken mine to B&B Package Express.
The cultural center will also take.
Okay.
Yeah, there are places that.
So maybe that's just having a website and putting it on the website.
Yeah, but you know, my biggest thing is I buy a lot of bird seed. I think this was what I was going to ask you, and it comes in big plastic bags. But and that's like the only plastic I buy anymore. I know there are some stores like Trader Joe's that is phasing out all single use packaging, including in products. That within the next year, no vendors get to sell them their stuff in single-use plastic. It's completely going away. So it's also about getting the stores on board, about what they're buying from who, and getting the people all the way back at who's making products to not package it in plastic that we then have to figure out. There's also, you may already know, has been discovered certain kinds of mushrooms that eat plastic. And regurgitated edible substance at the other end. And I will find the article about that if you guys are interested. But this is mushroom country, so have you seen that?
Yeah, it's an article. It's like a fungus that was developed. Like it's one of the things I saw said that some scientists had kind of created this thing that would kind of do that, like or like crossbred a thing. But then there was like natural mushrooms.
This was an actual mushroom. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So before I stop talking, it feels to me that the greatest passion in the group is the plastic thing, which I'm all for, and the food thing.
Food waste.
You know, because that, and not
which
just the waste, but the diversity, growing more
zero waste.
And they really hold hands a lot, because I know when I go shopping, I take containers with me. I go buy stuff in bulk, so I'm not even buying things in something that I have to then throw away. And I grow a lot of my own food and I sprout things. And so it's an educational transition as well as getting businesses, instead of growing shrubs out in front that are just pretty, they can be growing blueberries and raspberries and things that share food with the community, from the senior center and the homeless shelters and people that in the food banks. I mean, you can do a lot with this stuff to make the community itself more food sustainable.
One thing I just want to bring up, I know with North Lincoln Sanitary, they don't recycle a lot of those plastics anymore, but they may know places where you can recycle them. I think they don't recycle them because it costs more to recycle than it does, than what they can charge for it. But I know they had programs with the school where they would take, I think, the plastic films, and there was a company they could pay. It would cost money, but they would bring it to a company who would make the benches out of it. And you can make those play structures and benches out of single or types of plastics that are not really economical to recycle within, like, your regional recycling network, but can work for, like, specific ideas or specific products you want to build.
On that note, at the Squid, the can topper things that hold, like, cans together, soda or beer or whatever, those toppers, there's a company called Pack Tech in Portland, and I actually wrote to them trying to be a Pack Tech recycler. But basically, they said that I can get a bin from them for people to bring in, you know, from other places too, not even just our place. But and then we'll just basically take trips up to Portland to take them up there. But they turn them into park benches and like track like outdoor trash cans and stuff like that.
Cool.
So it's a cool thing. I have like literally a couple thousand of those that I need to drive to Portland. But yeah, I'm saving them to do that.
To do that.
Yeah.
And go ahead. Just. You go
I was just going to say, one of the things that we learned, or I learned, when we did our Migratory Bird Day Festival, we had presenters from several places, experts, and one of the things we found out is that recycling, even the recycling that we used to do, wasn't really recycling. It was being shipped overseas and then dumped in their rivers and oceans. And so some of the stuff that was really easy for us to do recycling-wise it wasn't actually really happening.
It's moot.
So right. No, it really says that it sort of refocuses the focus on the reduced port of the old triangle is kind of gone.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I don't want to say that out loud, sorry. But it really is. We have to focus on the reduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's forgotten back in the day, it was the three R's.
Yeah.
And everyone's forgotten is like the first two, and the only thing you never hear about anymore is recycling.
Yeah.
But why City Council is so passionate on the zero waste. Let's get more of the focus back on reduce.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like we are all on board with that.
I think back to like kind of looking at what the plan was before and not like making sure we don't miss anything that the city was like trying to do back then. I wonder if we should set like a chunk of time, like, okay, for the next 6 months or a year or whatever it is, our focus is, you know, zero waste with like these little bullet points, but then maybe after that we go, okay, like after that we take a look again and kind of do a new mission. Like, okay, like 6 month long missions or something. And then stuff can still be going on, like the campaign can still be worked on. But then I was thinking that's a good way to not maybe forget
and
about
we could, stuff. I mean, we could do like you were suggesting, one or two people take a look at this and maybe at each of our meetings spend 10 minutes, you know, 5 or 10 minutes just saying, okay, this was the original goal or something, so we kind of keep up with it at the same time we're doing our new campaign. I don't know. That's just a thought. Probably, I don't even know if it's doable.
Yeah, I've never been on a committee like this before, so I don't know how that kind of stuff is set up.
So I just had one other thing that had to do with what you were talking about with the remaking things. I went to a meeting a year or so ago, and Ruth, but she had a video on some machine that you can buy where you can collect all these different kinds of little, you know, all those little pieces of plastic. You find the little colored stuff. You pour it into this thing. It's a freestanding machine, and it has molds, and it makes this stuff into molds and all this stuff. This is something you can have in the city. To be starting to convert some of the stuff that no matter if we get down to zero waste, which we will do, it's still going to come floating in from the ocean and be on the beach, and then we have to deal with what shows up on the beach.
And wasn't
so,
talk a couple of years ago about getting such a machine?
Yeah, the Cultural Center looked at it. There was one that you could take your, I think it was number twos to fours, something like that, you could take down. You know, they had to be meticulously clean and things like that, and you put them in this thing, and everything becomes, you know, sort of a gray mass.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
can make these simple extruded, not extruded actually, they're molded.
Molded.
It's a different
yeah,
process.
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting approach. And then there's the ones that turn it into, you know, the extruded filament that you can use in 3D printers. But
yeah,
those are you have to be very careful
Tap,
about what goes
yeah.
into them.
Tap High School has.
Yeah, they recycle their filament into a filament
their
recycler.
Filament into
oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they have a machine, but they're missing. They don't have. They're missing the machine that would actually make the little pellets that they need to make the filament.
Okay.
And that was what they said. So they can recycle their old filament, but they can't make something like that. Anyway, there's groups and places in town that are starting to do some things, so that would be worth us looking at.
Well, I'm hearing everyone has a lot of good ideas. So. We need to come up with a plan of how to investigate the ideas further and perhaps put them into action. Otherwise,
yeah.
it won't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So perhaps a first step is, and I've never been on a sustainability committee either. I'm a planner. So perhaps the first step is that we need to note all of the ideas and then make assignments on doing additional research on each idea and come back with information on how it could be implemented, what are the costs involved, who are the other players that need to be contacted, what businesses need to be contacted, what restaurants need to be worked with, and those are the kind of things that we need to then lay out into information that we can then take back to City Council and say, these are our ideas, this is how much we think it will cost to implement, this is what we think the impact will be, does City Council want us to move further in this direction?
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
So, I wonder if there aren't some of the ideas that have been kicked around here that might actually go earlier to City Council before we, because I wonder, does this committee have the resources to effectively tally what the cost would truly be of a program like this, or are we just spitballing? Because if we had access to the you know, the accounting team and the folks, the finance team here at the city, it might be available a lot easier and access to staff resources if we. If we go around and start talking to businesses about one of these ideas, is the City Council going to...
No. I did not mean that we go around and talk to businesses. I mean that we identify who... So these types of businesses, restaurants, fast food, would need to be identified and spoken with if we were going to move forward with this idea. These businesses would need to be included as a stakeholder if we move forward with this idea. So, idea A, who are the stakeholders in idea A? And what are the possible
to the extent that we know.
Financial
yeah.
right, implications in idea A? Idea B, who would be the stakeholders in idea B? What would be the possible financial implications? So,
okay.
We wouldn't be coming up with all of those numbers. We would be, yes.
Can I
sure.
take something off your plate? I'm Judy Casper, the city council person. I'm also your appointee on the Sanitary Waste Advisory Committee for the county. Let me address four of the things that you mentioned that probably are also being included with them. One of it is combustible food for the city. That's already under discussion with North Lincoln Sanitary. And the idea is to become one of the cities that have our waste picked up and taken care of. The other cities on the Sanitary Waste Advisory, there are three main haulers in our county, Dahl, Thompson, and North Lincoln. And North Lincoln is the only one that doesn't have a composite pickup for our food waste debris. So that's in the works, and that would be adding to our utility in our garbage bills. So that's being worked on. City Council is very favorable of that idea. The other one is plastics to making furniture, which I think Wes did. That's currently being done by Tillamook. There's a middle school up there. And we discussed this at the, it's called the SWAC committee. It is a volunteer group, and it's very costly. Somebody has to, like, collect all the plastic, and it has to be stored somewhere in a dry area. That's the issue with North Lincoln. They can't take the plastic because it takes, like, millions to make, like, a little basket of plastics. But they're doing this as an experiment basis in Tillamook, and they do take it up to Portland to be recycled. And that's kind of like, we're going to see how that works out. You talked about remolding machine for plastics, and lo and behold, we have an entrepreneur in our community already working on a machine that will take recycled cannabis cylinders and wash, clean, and munch them up, and hopefully make them into a substance for 3D printers or another kind of mold. So that's an idea already happening. What am I missing? Green schools. That, you haven't mentioned that, but I wanted to mention that because it is big. The SWAC, which is county budget, has money set aside. All the garbage haulers have point something something percent of their fees added to this pot of money for green schools. And it's true, we had one of the first green schools here in Lincoln County, but it went by the wayside because it requires staff time, money in the budget, and a consistent coordinator. And so what we're doing now is looking at a pilot project to hire a full-time coordinator for all, say, like middle schools in the county. Currently, Newport does have a full-time coordinator through the, I think it's Thompson Company, the garbage company there, and she works with them in their grade schools. So that's on our agenda, and part of that budget money would be to pay for a coordinator for our schools as well. And that's one of our four priorities on the sanitary waste management, is to get those green schools in place. So if that takes anything off your plate, go forth and do good stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's
great to know that those things are...
Yeah, we're all on the same page.
Yeah, that's great. Well, with the, when we were talking about trying to get the local restaurants and other businesses on board and trying to make it kind of a promotional thing with the city, like the Expo of the City, and kind of saying, like, bright and right, you know, for the greenest beaches, beach town. Who would be, so we would probably talk with Ed, you said, there, or would we talk with somebody else about kind of, because if we can get that part of, you know, like kind of like the marketing, the branding side involved too, because it would ultimately be partly them that were doing it, they would be implementing part of it in that way.
That brings up what I wanted to ask, which is, okay, suppose we decide that, say, this food event is something that we want to do, a tourist event. What's the protocol? Can we be authorized to have a conversation with Explore Lincoln City, you know, outside of this venue?
No, we would have, if that's the direction.
So how does that work?
So let's say that you wanted to focus on reducing the single-use plastics with our local businesses and restaurants, and that the branding idea was one of the things that you wanted to explore further. Then I would recommend that for our next committee meeting, that I contact Ed and invite him to attend, and then we could have a discussion.
Okay.
And then Mitch was talking about doing like a veggie test or something with the focus on not just the plastic thing, but
nutrition.
Doing the nutrition and the plant-based thing and the how to grow your own food thing, because that's something that I personally think is absolutely key. It's like right in there with the plastic thing. It's getting the diversity of the city. I've lived places where the places got shut down and you had to survive off of what you had in your house for a lengthy period of time. It's not pretty if you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, you go to the talks about the possibility of an earthquake, and if, you know, I don't really think that's going to happen, but if that happened and we got cut off, we would be in dire straits right now because there is not enough food growing in this community to sustain us. And people don't know how to sprout things and do you know, buy food that's wholesome, that's going to be something that you can then survive off of if you need to for a few weeks or even a month.
Well,
and that, to me, is a concern.
Another aspect of that, though, is the fact that people moving to a more of a plant-based diet have health improvements. Mm-hmm. And if the city can foster that in its citizens, the city's doing its citizens a favor by helping sort of move them towards a healthier lifestyle.
It's true. I mean, I've been plant-based for years, but it's also because I was homeless for a while and I had to learn how to live out of my car and feed myself by sprouting things. It's amazing what you can do with a very small amount of food if you know how to food combine and you know how to make things into complete proteins and you know what the mineral and the vitamin bases are for things. You don't have to have that much food to actually accomplish these things, but most people don't know that.
So I wonder if, I'm sorry, if maybe, like, to get other people on board and, like, to get the community on board, designating a day, you know, like a little festival kind of a thing, mm-hmm. making it fun kind of a thing. But that would be, that's going to be, like, a something we have to kind of crescendo and build up, like, plan for a long time, right? Like a, oh, it's, you know, like a city food days or veggie days or whatever. You know,
they call them veggie fest, and they're doing them all over the Portland, Dustin, you know, there are.
Yeah.
But so, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, like, that might be something we go, okay, we should, like, figure out the steps to getting a fest or like, a weekend or something fun. And, but, like, and yeah, like, then recruiting online, a bunch of people like that. But that would be something that we can talk about, but then it's just, like, to actually get it, you know, accomplished, we have to, like, plan it out.
Right.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. If that is something that you're interested in pursuing, in having either one event or a series of events or an ongoing series of events with calling Veggie Fest or Food Sustainability or come up with some cute, catchy little name, then we can focus on that, and we would put our plan together of what we think that would be, and would it be one event, would it be a series of events, what would we like to see in each of those events, and then we prepare an outline of that, and we go to City Council and we say, the Sustainability Committee has developed this plan for this series of events that we would like to be city-sponsored. What does City Council think? Here's our plan, essentially. So if that's something that you want to focus on in addition to the branding, then that's up to you guys.
Well, I would just chime in here to say I think I get where you're coming from, and you as well, and I admire it. I think that what I like about Sarah's spin on the idea is that it's kind of a manageable goal to have an event that focuses on local growers. I mean, I want to say 2009-10, there was a sudden sort of push through. I think it was a food organization in Manzanita that started some locavore events, and we had a lot of locavore coverage of different things that were happening in Lincoln City. And I remember once we threw a Thanksgiving party that had, you know, everyone had to bring everything that was at the table had to be grown within 100 miles of Lincoln City.
That's cool.
And so we had seafood, and we had Valley produce, and you had to get a waiver if you wanted to bring salt or sugar or something that we couldn't verify where it came from. But those were very small things, really. At the end of the day, you have the locally grown pumpkins and all of that stuff. So maybe an event like that features tables and talks on the benefits of a vegetarian lifestyle or something like that, and the, you know, the impact on the environment and the trophic levels and all of those things that benefit from a plant-based diet. But I think if we set our goal as a committee, you know, a subcommittee of the City Council in Lincoln City to change people's diets and ways of life, I think that might be too heavy a lift. I mean, I don't want to shy away from any grand goals, but I
would have to resign. I'm just telling you. So I'm all about the food sustainability part, but converting to a vegetarian diet is not going to happen. So
okay.
anyway. So I would have a problem with us that if we called it food sustainability and we had some, you know, veggie events and that kind of thing. That's fine, but
Or even just local, like I know Ben's.
I like the local idea. The local raised, local.
Well, Greg Burton raises cattle, so he's the.
I love that idea.
Even the experts on this subject don't necessarily recommend that everybody try to switch to a vegetarian diet. I've read articles about
it. The sustainable diet—that's a whole. Yeah.
And I would also just mention. It seems to me that if you did want to send out a zero waste message towards the general population, I think you can get their interest a lot easier in a context of, oh, here's yummy food, and by the way, reduce your waste, rather than people's eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like government policy, their eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
Well, and like buying less meat maybe per week means you'll waste less meat,
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that you have to cut all of their stuff out. It just means here's how to plan for eating local and not wasting,
And just as part of this educational thing, I do encourage people to not refer to what they're eating as meat, but call it what it is. We call oranges oranges, lemons lemons, but we call beef meat. So if we can at least have the honor of calling the animals by who they are when we're eating them, I think it's a step in the right direction as far as consciousness, awareness, that most people buy stuff in source, they don't even know where it's come from.
And that all goes back to the goal of what you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at reducing food waste, food sustainability in the case of an emergency, which is completely different than reducing food waste, or are you looking at a plant-based diet? Those are three different topics that are floating around here.
I think
calling meat and beef is completely unrelated to sustainability in the food in the case of an emergency.
I wasn't just talking about emergencies. I'm just saying I have that knowledge from having been there, but it doesn't mean... It doesn't mean that in day-to-day life, we don't want to have this greater diversity in the forest and in what's available for animals. I know people always think that I'm always talking about emergencies, and I'm not. My favorite thing to do is to prevent emergencies by being prepared and having things available to prevent it ever being a problem. So I go at it from if an emergency comes, you just float right through it because you've got stuff in place. So I'm not a, oh my God, we're all going to die from an earthquake person. That's not me at all. I'm if it happens, because I have lived through those things, it's nice to know what to do, and so that it doesn't have to be stressful. That's all I know.
How about some type of plan for education on what food sustainability is and what it means to me as a citizen of Lincoln City?
We could always do a poll, like one of those survey things where it's kind of like, getting feedback from people first and see what people would be like interested in learning more about or something, or more receptive to. I kind of think with this, it would be fun to make it into a fun event that kind of gets people excited, like you were saying, like, all right, local snacks and stuff, but maybe kind of think about this and have it be an agenda item over time and kind of work our way up to like a fun event or something where we could like look at the calendar and go, okay, well, you know, around here, like Seafood and Wine Festival falls in February, and that's like it kind of kicks off busy time for business owners around here. I think in those terms because I'm running a business, but it affects everyone around here too. So you can kind of go, okay, well, what's kind of a slower time or a time where it would be a good time to put an event like this and then kind of have goals lead up to that for talking to, like, nutritionists at Samaritan or Corpus Landing Farm or other local farms or ranchers and have them be speakers and also be involved.
Yeah, personally, I was thinking of like tying it to Valentine's Day and trying to tap into that existing mindset. Like, Lincoln City is your romantic destination for Valentine's Day. Come here.
I just wanted to bring up the fact, I think doing events may give the ability to actually schedule out whether you have like an annual event or biannual events or consistent monthly talks or whatever structure that you decide is important in terms of how big an event and how often you have them, but it would give you, maybe give some agenda items that you can put on your schedule, plan for, execute, you know, and have like kind of a long-term engagement that you do regularly.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to go on YouTube and look up The Incredible Edible. It's Pam Warhurst. It's one of the founders, and it came out quite a few years ago, but she was the original speaker, and they talk about how they converted their entire community. And she talks worldwide about this, and it has become quite a movement. But they really explain how they converted everything over from just ornamentals to food and medicinal to make it readily available to people, and it became a tourist attraction. So, but it ties right into the no waste, and the, you know, why just grow something pretty when you can grow something pretty that's also makes food, you know? So,
do you think that we could tackle zero waste as our overarching and have our two main focuses? Have two main focuses be the plastic and single-use packaging reduction and food sustainability.
Yeah.
They both, to me, go under that same umbrella.
Absolutely.
And we could, if we set up a website or set up Facebook page or whatever, we can either have separate ones or have one, and then it has, you know, community zero waste sustainability, whatever is the banner, and then underneath it, it has, you know, resources here for food, resources here for packaging, resources here for household products, whatever.
So, Don, can I ask a question? And I'm going to get definitely dethroned as chairman of the sustainability committee for asking this question, but I frankly don't know the answer. What does a zero waste community look like? I mean, all the trucks that head from North Lincoln Sanitary to Coffin Butte, are they not going anymore? Are we not generating solid waste anymore? And how is that accomplished?
I did a little bit of reading on it, because is this zero or partial zero? Like the whole cars with their partial
zero
emission, or is this net zero? And there's a half a dozen different standards out there, and basically we would have to look at the different models and see, do we really want to put North Lincoln out of, I'm not going to say that out loud. I already did. It's too late. No, I mean, there's everything from you really don't have a landfill anymore to something that's more of a compromise kind of a approach. So there really are a half a dozen different definitions.
Perhaps that would be something good that the committee, could do, is do research on each of those models and develop the list of pros and cons and the impacts on each one, and compile that information and take it back.
Well, I already did a little bit of that in that document I showed you, the sample document.
Yeah. I think that would be really helpful, because there are different international and national associations out there, and they all want you to adopt their definition. And so it would be a good exercise to figure out which is the definition we could agree to and the city council would agree to adopt as this is
I have another protocol question. She mentioned building a website. I want to know if this committee has a message to get out to the general public, how does that go? It always has to come through the city.
Yes.
So the city owns the website. We would recommend some text for them, and then they can decide what to do with it. Is that how it works?
There probably won't be a website.
Okay, so just cross that off.
Because it would need to be a city employee who manages it. It would have to be under the auspices of LincolnCity.org.
Okay, so we just take that off the table. We can just take that off the table.
Don't worry, we can create a rogue social media account.
Individually,
make a recommendation. Okay. I mean, there's no reason we couldn't.
Well, right, and I have to say,
no, but you could get some concise message together and put it through like Ron's report. Because people are going, well, what's the sustainability committee? And Ron could put out there the sustainability committee, blah, 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 blah. And then you can find your websites to find out more, go to this website or something like that. But it could be initiated through something from the city.
And I would like to see, I mean, the webpage that is already out there for the sustainability committee, all it talks about is bike path.
Yeah,
and I would really like to see that message changed.
Well, it sounds like Ron does too, because he was the one saying he would like us to focus on zero waste. So maybe once we have some concrete stuff to say,
right, and some objectives, and some, and then it could replace maybe what's.
And it will absolutely
okay
because and that's a
and I know it's out there because that's what they did
through LincolnCity.org.
Yeah, that's where it is.
And so. And there are certain staff members that have rights to go in and update.
Sure, and they can update.
And once we have
a message and it's approved,
right,
and whatever, then it can be.
Right now, we're trying to figure out.
Yes.
Yeah, all that.
But we are message is going to be. Yeah.
Well, and we haven't mentioned it at all. I'm sorry. The bike paths, though, I would say it made sense then, and it makes sense now when we talk about options to keep cars off the streets and to make biking safe. And like, there's talk of punching a road, which I think would be the most genius thing the city's done in the last 20 years, to punch a road from Spyglass to East Devils Lake.
It's in the works.
See? Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Yeah.
And if that road goes, a committee like ours could be, you know, the loudest voice at the table saying, is it wide enough for a bike to safely traverse it? So that I can get to the squid without going down the highway. You know, that kind of thing. It's going to be a huge boon to children trying to ride to school and things like that. And so I wouldn't want us to discount bikes in general.
I didn't mean to make it sound disparaging. It's just that the only thing that it talks about under sustainability is that.
Yeah. It's like outdated.
I will go in and I'll update it right now and say that we've had our second meeting and
The conversation about what can we post where, if we're not going to have our own website, and then I have websites, other people have websites, I'm more than happy to use my nonprofit as a platform to get resource lists out and all that kind of stuff, but how do we do that and remain in the protocol of what's okay? You know, is there...
As an individual not representing the committee or the city, just like you would post anything you do as an individual.
Okay, so but you wouldn't be able to say
not be able to reference the sustainability committee
at all. So but you can talk about sustainability. I mean that's still a little vague.
One, I think if you're going to have events, you need some landing page for people to go to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
you know,
the event, Weston, would come through the city's website.
Oh, but that would be the landing page.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like a kite festival.
So is it possible for us to just make a motion if we want to? I mean, because I would like to make a motion that we invite Ed from Lincoln City to meet with us next time. Is that
too soon? Or
weren't we going to have a work party?
Well, we haven't set a regular meeting schedule because we were waiting on Mr. Price so that we knew regular days that everyone had availability.
Yeah.
Sounded like Tuesday afternoons were good.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Our executive team meets in Newport 1 to 3 every other Tuesday. So if we did, in this case, it's what, the fourth Tuesday right now?
But we were talking about having work parties the other two Tuesdays.
And staff has limited availability.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
I can so earlier us
so
Tuesday
we won't be able to, we certainly won't be meet, we don't have availability to meet every week.
It's still going to be like once a month official meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we throw in some work sessions, that's fine, but I can't meet once a week.
Yeah. I can do some work sessions on occasion, but I can't do them on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But I can make this fourth Tuesday at 3 work.
The fourth Tuesday at
whatever
3?
It looks like the fourth Tuesday is the 26th of November. And I'm flying out on the 25th, so that may I've missed 2 months of meetings instead of just one. We have it that late in the month, because I'm leaving the 25th of November and coming back the 25th.
Well, that's just going to be a busy week for everybody.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right, and Thanksgiving is really late, though. So what about the 19th?
And I could do Wednesday. If it's going to be before 3, I could do Wednesdays. If Wednesdays work better for everybody else.
I'm just telling you, I will miss the occasional Tuesday meeting, and there's nothing I can do about it.
So what about the 19th? That's a Tuesday of November. That would be a third Tuesday. Does that hit in between your every other?
He said the first and third. Is your first and third? I missed that.
I have Toastmasters in there somewhere on Tuesdays, but they're and I still would like to see some work parties set up.
Yeah. Is Mondays better?
Mondays work for me. Conflict with the city council's real meeting.
It depends on what time you're meeting.
Yeah.
And usually the goal is to not meet in here. The goal is to meet in the Northwest Conference Room. It just so happens that the first two times the Northwest Conference Room was booked, and so was the Public Works Conference Room. So this is where we ended up by default.
I think I can make the 19th of November.
I guess I was still meeting, so.
Is that the third Tuesday?
That's the third Tuesday.
Is the, for regularity.
Yeah, regular.
Is the third Tuesday?
Or is it better to switch to
three?
For regularity, I think outside of the Thanksgiving issue and what I believe to be the Christmas issue a month later, the fourth would be best for me, because that's a meeting I can skip. But the other three Tuesdays, I really have to be important.
So could we start the fourth Tuesday after the first of the year and just November and December?
We'll just be flexible. And I'm more than happy to do the third Tuesdays, those November and December, if that works for everybody else.
Okay. So starting January
28th.
Fourth Tuesday at 3. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, that works for me. Okay, and then
November.
November the 3rd Tuesday? Did you say that? Okay. 19th. Do you want to do the same time?
That's the 19th
at 3. Yeah, if we do at 3, it's fine because then I don't have
a display. Would that be?
Because your should be done by then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that sounds good. I think what about work meetings?
And then December.
Which would be the 19th?
The third one would be the 17th. I won't be here, so December is.
December 17th works for me.
Okay.
That's good.
Yep.
So quorum would be 3 of us.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
December 17th.
Is there any record of what happened to the old sustainability committee that sort of drift away because people left the committee and it wasn't able to sustain itself?
That was no pun intended. I
don't know.
Okay.
I never really asked. It never had a committee that got off the ground.
Oh,
never
okay.
Had enough people. I mean, it was in the description of committees, but it never got it together to have anything really happen.
So I think that, is it right?
Too, but then there was all these papers, so I wasn't in that thing. Okay.
And is there a rule that says we are a five-member committee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, we went through all that at the first meeting.
That's funny. So the minutes. No. the reason I ask is if we could go to seven, then we might hedge our bets because busy people get things done, right? So, but they also miss the occasional meeting, and so just because one or two of us might be absent, I would hate to think that the committee loses any steam.
Sure.
And so I don't know if maybe five is just a little too lean, but I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
No, I agree. I think it would be nice to have it.
Well, what happens that with having an event and you need to have a separate couple of people work on the event and do the planning and get together and meet and do all of that? Does that have to be under
the guise of the glare of the
That's a good. That's a good question
because it's going to be logistically kind of hard to put on it. Because
if we're only meeting 1 hour a month at max, and we have a major event to plan, I agree. I don't see how we could ever.
I guess I was wondering about having more groups that are like.
That fit within the confines of public meetings law.
Well, because the problem is, Anne-Marie said that every time we meet, we have to have a city staff person, and the city staff people are not allocated beyond.
It has to be noticed.
Yeah.
We have to post to the paper.
So how do we do that?
Well, actually, here's what we could do is pitch an idea to an outside, to other groups that could take it and run with it.
And we could also recommend to the city that you need to set up a committee to plan that event, just a short term, or something like that. That's not our committee, but our committee is asking the council to. Anyway, so there's ways around it.
Right. So
I don't mean ways around the rules, but I mean ways around.
Well, the idea is that you come up with the idea and the thoughts behind it, and again, the stakeholders, the goals, the implications, and then that's presented to City Council, and they say, yes, move forward with it, or no.
Yeah.
So.
Or they could say, yes, we want to move forward with it, but you guys don't worry about it anymore.
Well, right. Then planning staff with Explore Lincoln City. So if they were swept up with the idea of a veggie fest or whatever that event is, I would presume that Ed would want it to be of the caliber of a Lincoln City event, and so they would take it over and do planning, and we could be called upon to provide.
They could. Yeah.
I don't know.
The Yotra
expertise. Brain time. Yeah. Brain time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Good. That answers my question.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's
remember, good. This is an advisory committee.
Yes, right. Yeah, just have to remember that.
Advisory. We're advising the city council.
On that note, this is something that has confused me for a while, and so since we're all talking about this, I might as well throw it in the pot. So there are a lot of different projects that people have seen that really need to be get some steam behind them for the community. And for the planet, of course, for the community. How do we, when all that seems to be available with the city is doing advisory stuff, how do we like some of these things that I've even talked to Nikki about, doing a big community garden adjacent to the community center and have the food go to Meals on Wheels and to the senior center and all these things? Who does these things?
Well, for that particular issue, you would want to talk with Jeannie Sprague.
Yeah.
She's the director of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And she's over community gardens.
Yeah, and that's perfect, though, because you can kind of take your own personal, campaign and be like, all right, I'm going to pitch this to Jeannie. And
I'll have her to talk to Jeannie.
Mm-hmm. But
you would help.
Well, and, the Rotary, so they were putting together the poly van, right? Or a kind of a campaign.
And then the state sort of swept in to care of that problem, sort of. But the Rotary did also recognize exactly what you're saying, that there's a need for more fresh produce, and so we leaned on President Reisling, and we got some the right to use some land at the college, and we planted a garden. Mm-hmm. And we've taken two different harvests of two different crops to the food pantry, along with books that we got from Bob's Beach Books, teaching people how to cook with vegetables who might not do it often mm-hmm. enough. And so we're going to do that every year moving forward. It's going to grow every year. It's going to double in size next season. And you should have seen our hall. And so I think there's a lot of people doing that individually, but they tend to be groups. Some of them definitely have city support. Like these city community gardens are wonderful things.
Oh,
and that's overseen by Parks and Rec.
And they've grown and grown.
Yeah, and they were yeah. championed by Joe Dana Bright Taylor, who was just a citizen who thought that we needed community gardens.
Lori and her husband oversee them.
Yeah, they're Parks and Rec employees, and she is. So,
Lori is, yeah.
That's fantastic. And so that's where a lot of that comes from.
They have told me they're not really growing and that they're not doing that well. And they're having trouble getting people to take the plots because there's not enough energy about doing
it. This last year, every single plot was taken. Every single one.
Okay. So that's not what she told me when
that
I talked
to you.
Yes, the one down in town.
Cool.
I'm talking about the one up here.
Oh, okay.
21st?
I don't know about that. So the one up here. So I
was interested in one day.
Yeah, I'm just I'm asking is there all these organizations and then there's the city and I'm not involved in any of these. So I have all this interest in helping and I don't have any idea how.
It's very frustrating.
Well, I know that. So I had a couple of friends that were community garden members down in Taft, and they were like, yeah, do you want to be on the board? Because they made us be on the board. like, basically, we can't do all of it. Like, you know, so I think they are always looking for
people to help
with the garden. So yeah. That was, you know, you could kind of like run with that and just be like, all right, you know, encourage people to really get into it. Mm-hmm.
So for the next meeting, what is the group's motion on what they want to focus on and research and bring back to discuss at the next meeting?
So to do an official motion, you just say, oh, I make a motion. I think that addressing single-use plastics, especially with restaurants and takeout in this town, because on vacation, people that might be more mindful of it at home are not, or they are frustrated by limited options. And, you know, you get stuff delivered from Lee's or wherever, and you end up with all this single-use crap.
Could I make a response to that? Maybe to get to your goal, maybe we would invite Lori, the director of the Chamber of Commerce. Is it Lori? What's her name?
Lori Nurse-Torres.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, she would seem like she would be the go-to person if you're trying to reach the business community. Maybe she could meet with us.
Yeah, well, she has a list of restaurants.
I think we could figure out what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Probably the first thing is, if that's the topic that we're going to focus on for the next few months, then we make that decision to focus on that topic. And then we come back, everyone do research on what it means to reduce single use. And how can that be done? And we all come back with our lists of what needs to be done, what can be done, and simple ideas to complicated ideas, and then we put those together and come up with something before we start inviting others.
I would be willing to look at the different definitions of zero waste. So I would be happy to do that and bring that back to the
And I'd like to work on the single-use plastics issue as well. But I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that Mitchell's the one who actually mentioned a date assigned to his idea, and that date would be February. If that was to be something we at least explore, we'd have to do it relatively soon. I don't think we'd want to put it off another month. So maybe you could do some preliminary work on what that event might look like or the scope. I don't know. And so as a member of this committee, if Mitchell wanted to run upstairs and make an appointment with someone and say, hey, what's it take to schedule an event of this scope, blah, 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 with someone at his board like the city, he could do that, right? Talking about city business within the city department, not draining any resources, but just asking questions.
Antique Week is starting, I believe, February 15th for the next 10 days. So I know that that's already in the works, Antique Week. And I think Explore Lincoln City might have a hand in that somehow. So if you wanted to tack onto that, perhaps you could...
Talk about reuse.
Yeah, somehow.
I almost wonder with a food-related event if we should wait until... local farms have some stuff kind of popping up this spring.
Yeah.
Like maybe in May.
I didn't think of that. Like
May or June.
Yeah. Before the really big summer stuff hits, but kind of after.
Yeah, that would May. Before the official season opens or something, but when farmers actually have, I don't know.
It might be a fun way to celebrate. And also we could even use it, like imagine a dinner that you could go and we could do high volume and make it affordable, but all the proceeds go to some cause. Like, we're going to fund startup farmers in the farmer's market booth. We'll buy the farmer's market booth. I mean, I don't know what they
call it. Oh, like a sample. Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of opportunity to...
Maybe part of the research needs to be if we're going to have, like, farmers and maybe seafood and things like that, maybe part of the research needs to be what's the best time of year to have harvest that can actually be, because even May might not be. So maybe that could be part of what you look at. It's
there's Harvest Festival. There's the Harvest Festival in Nesquillin, and if something, it'd be maybe good to talk to people who organize that. But then that would be a competing event if it's that time.
So anyway, Don's okay. Gonna bring us back research on zero waste. Mitch is going to bring us back research on a local food event, what it's going to take, best time to have it, and...
I can look at, actually, so...
plastic waste reductions.
Yeah, so there's plastic.
Okay.
Next week, Tuesdays from now, at the Squid on a Tuesday night, when we're normally closed, we're going to have Surf Rider there, and they're showing a movie called Bag It. And it's kind of a lighthearted-ish, but kind of drives home microplastics that we're drinking. You know, it's kind of beyond the bag, kind of an idea. So that's going to be free, and I'm doing that as kind of a fundraiser for Surf Rider. So Brianna's going to be there and talking before the movie starts, and then we're just going to have like a projected thing at the Squid. I'm not trying to promote the Squid. I'm just saying at that, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about some movies plastic. So.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I saw it quite a lot.
And I might mention that I've arranged for Brian Robertson, the Pacific Marine Energy Center, to speak on the subject of wave power down at the Marine Hatfield Marine Science Center in November on Monday the 18th. So, and I'll be getting this out to the newspaper.
One of the things that I saw on the plan was talking about reducing fuel emissions for city vehicles, just an almost different subject. And I wondered if there had been any look at the city going to electric vehicles. Has anybody talked about that?
What?
City going to electric vehicles?
No, not yet. Okay. We're still dealing with solar power and wind energy.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it's a way to reduce emissions and fossil fuels.
Police car. They might have an experimental police car becoming one electric car.
Okay.
I think that's in our budget next time.
Okay. Okay, good. So at least somebody is talking about it. We actually have better electric charging infrastructure here in Lincoln City thanks to previous city officials than most of the other cities do. So. But of course, now they're changing the standard. We need to get another one.
Yeah, we
need to
upgrade.
Yeah, I do wonder how that pencils out. I mean, if you had a bank like the factory store's Tesla rack there, if you had a bank of those, you know, up at the top parking lot or something, can you make those available when the city's not using them to charge their fleet and generate income off of the visitors coming in and charging. I presume you can at some level. I don't know when they're allowed to make a dent.
There's a couple of different ways of looking at it. One is you charge people for it and generate income. Another is that pulls people in and they go shopping and do things because they know that they can park there and charge them.
No, that's certainly the philosophy at a factory stores type location.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do for this 2 hours while we're charging?
Well, and even the one behind the cultural center.
Yeah.
That was the first time Desi and I had ever, my husband had ever been into the cultural center was because we stopped there to charge their vehicle. And it was like, okay, we have about 20 minutes. What are we going to do? And we went into the gift stores. Never been in there before. So this has been another year.
Oh, big correction. It's a hybrid car. Hybrid car is coming, please.
Okay.
Yeah, the actual cost savings comes when you go to all electric, but that's okay.
It's a step.
It is.
And with a police car, they probably do
need to
speed back up. Yes. In case they're out in the field a little longer.
Anyway, sorry, I kind of got off topic there, but I had just seen it in the old plans.
Would anyone like to make a motion on the three topics and then individuals coming back to research them? As we previously discussed.
Okay, I move that I look at zero waste definitions, Sarah look at single-use plastic alternative information, and Mitch research
a food event,
time and place and content.
Okay, I second.
And we talk about it at the next meeting.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Okay. Are there any reports from city staff?
I think I've said
okay.
That's all you care to hear from me.
Any closing comments from Mitch?
Oh, well, I went to the battery and storage conference today down in Newport. I went so you don't have to. I have a master's degree in physics, and it was mostly way up here. It was the ultimate collision between bureaucrats and technocrats and very, very extremely technical, complicated problems. What I can tell you, really briefly, when they are talking about battery storage, for our utilities, even for the purposes of resilience, which is recovery during a disaster, they tend to only be talking about something that's only going to last 2 hours. The other thing that was kind of amazing and shocking was that all this exploration into these issues of battery storage and electrical resilience, it's amazingly still, or disappointingly still, at a really early stage. It's highly experimental now. They're learning from their mistakes. There's the technical problems, there's the bureaucratic problems, and then there's additionally the financial problems, because when the utilities make these investments, they ought to have to pay for it. So they're really caught in a squeeze. The only consensus I think I can see is that they do seem to feel that the right size of a solution for resilience is what's called a microgrid. Forget the idea of putting solar power on every home. Forget the idea of having all your power come from a big utility 100 miles away. The right size is community sized, and that would be a microgrid. And they're still trying to get the kinks out of that. So there you go.
That is interesting.
Real quick question. If I, in my police plastic research and stuff, look at alternatives like let's say, like little soft containers, you know, that to go, whatever, like the pricing aspect for, you know, if we go, hey, like supply them to restaurants or just show them the difference in cost, whatever, mm-hmm. Am I allowed to reach out to, you know, wholesale stock companies to find out pricing and tell them what we're like that we would be buying a whole bunch all at once kind of thing? And am I allowed to say, you know, why I'm checking into it? Or
we wouldn't be buying any. You can certainly call places and just ask for prices.
Individual.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Anyone else? Great.
Meeting
is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for being here, Judy.
Sure.
It's my favorite subject. My fingers are tired.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
Well, you got a bunch of talkers on the committee.
That's
sure.
good.
Sure. Yeah.
Very good.
Mitch, do you want a copy of this
problem? Yeah, sure.
I wrote down the
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. Good to see you, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
As time goes on, things go. Yeah. It was really helpful for me to say, remember you're an advisory committee, because that is, because I, like most of us in here, we're doers, and so it's like, advice.
Be patient too. It takes a long time, I think, to get things growing, get things going. You have to find your priorities and come to consensus on everything.
So don't feel discouraged, you guys.
Yeah.
Things like other park boards and stuff, they've been running for years. You know what I mean? And you're just like, you've already done a lot of this work. So I think the most difficult part's going to be the beginning and setting up that like long-term infrastructure. So, you know, if someone decides that they need, they're moving somewhere else or whatever, you know, just creating that long-term committee that's running.
Judy said that the committee had never actually gotten up and going. So it really is
a
good
question for
anyone. I'm not sure if those minutes are available. You might be able to look on the website and see if old sustainability committee minutes are there.
I couldn't even find the charter, so...
Have you ever looked on, like, you can find all the city council minutes, all the other committee minutes, I think...
Okay, I'll look. And maybe that's why I couldn't find them, because maybe they never asked for them.
Yeah, I don't know.
make sure. I just wanted to do it.
Bugging you.
It was bugging. You know?